Well, welcome to Empowering Others with God's Word. This morning, my guest is Karen Hanin, author, previously a trial lawyer, and now she uses those communication skills to help us explore biblical truths. You're going to love this series we started last time, and with God's power and character, followed by knowing God's word. And today we're going to talk about exercising faith and trust. So welcome, Karen Hanin.
Thank you for inviting me to be interviewed.
This is an opportunity for us to just explore what God has already put in our hearts and pass it on to those that are listening or those that are watching, and encourage them, motivate them, challenge them to make God's word a priority in their lives. And Karen, you and I share that love for God's word, so it makes it really simple for us to begin this session and encourage others to know that God's healing power is not just for the biblical times, but it's for today. So we're going to talk today about exercising faith and trust. So Karen, what is this about exercising faith? I thought faith was just a gift.
Faith is also a choice. We can see that biblically. And to tie this in, the last interview we did talked about the importance of knowing and applying God's word. And so let's start today with the verse from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which says that faith comes from hearing the word. And of course, in biblical times, a lot of people couldn't read, so they had to hear the word. But I think we can paraphrase this to also say faith comes from reading the word. But one way or another, taking the word in, that is what our faith has to be built upon. And I think sometimes in our modern world, it's easy to have faith in doctors and in medicine. And now that we're going through a pandemic, to have faith in vaccines. And that's all fine, you know, for what that's all worth. But our ultimate faith has to be in God, and that faith has to be placed on his word and what he has revealed, not on wishful thinking, not on what we want, but on what his word has revealed to us.
Oh, I love that. And we're going to explore this more as we go through this time together, because it's a sad thing when we see so much confusion and so much fear surrounding our culture these days. And for those of us who are believers, God is so much greater. We talked about his power in the first two podcasts. And today, I believe that our faith is going to be strengthened as we talk about just more about God and what it means to have faith. So, Karen, you've talked about three reasons why we might not have, or why we might struggle with our faith. Can you expand on those?
Yeah. So just before I get into that, I do just want to say that it is very, very important for us to recognize how important faith is. And we'll perhaps get to a few stories later on. But I know that a lot of people have experienced some disappointment in the past. Perhaps they've prayed for themselves and they're still not well, or they've prayed for a loved one and perhaps the loved one's even passed away. And so people are sometimes left with a lot of disappointment, a lot of confusion, a lot of skepticism, and they just don't want to be hearing about faith anymore. And so before we get into faith, let's just talk very briefly about some of these three reasons why people might struggle in the present to have faith for themselves or a loved one. And I think the first one is, this is the one I encounter most talking to people. It's when a loved one has died at an age that in our minds has seemed too young or too premature. And they've died no matter how much they've prayed or other people have prayed for them. And so just to address that briefly, I think we all have to come to grips with three critical facts. One is that God will not keep healing us forever on this earth. We talked in an earlier podcast, he heals us over and over, even if it's of minor things like colds or flus or sore throats or sprained ankles, or broken bones even, or certainly more major things. So we've all experienced a fair amount of healing in our lives. And so God will heal us, unheal us, and heal us, sometimes perfectly, sometimes imperfectly. But then the day will come that healing stops for every single one of us. And we don't know what day that's going to be, because the second thing we have to come to grips with is we are going to die. And while the Bible promises healing to believers who pray and have faith, etc., it also promises that it is appointed unto every person that we will die. And our days are numbered. We have a finite life. But of course, beyond that, there's our eternal life, which is a great hope. But then the third thing I think that's very, very important, I spent a lot of time thinking and praying about this and studying it as I wrote my book, and that is that we are not entitled or guaranteed to live to any specific age. And we don't have too much time to get into that today, but a lot of times people think there's one verse out of 30,000 in the Bible that says that the days of a person's life are 70 years or 80 if they have the strength. And that is a general truth. That remains a general truth. You can look at the life expectancy figures even here in Canada. But it's not an ironclad promise or guarantee. And we know that. We've all known people. Billy Graham lived to 99. Other people don't make it to 70. And so I think we need to recognize that whether we're thinking of ourselves or a loved one, there's no guarantee that we're going to live to a specific age. We'll live to the fullness of our days as God has decreed that, but none of us knows exactly what that will be. So if we recognize those three things, I think it helps for us to put aside any sort of what we would consider negative outcomes from the past that that are still troubling us.
That's so important for us to look at those things, because we have our minds set on what we believe should be a person's lifespan. Mm-hmm. So this is a real pause right now.
Yes.
And we're going to get into the perspective in a bit, but carry on.
So then the second reason I think is that people sometimes spend more time dwelling on fear and worry than on faith. And you know what? We all do, right? Understandable. That's only human. And again, as we go through this interview, we're living in the middle of a pandemic and there's a lot of fear out there. And we all have our moments of being anxious and fearing and wondering what's going to happen. But we do have to make a conscious choice to exercise faith. And at any one moment in time, you know, we're going to yo-yo back and forth. We all do. Having faith one moment, maybe being anxious the next. But in any one specific moment in time, we have to choose. Are we going to, this moment, have faith, or are we going to have fear? And so that's the second thing. You know, people just get so caught up in their fears and anxieties. And I think one way to choose faith is to just meditate on all the verses we can find that that generate faith, that generate hope, that help us to just see who God is and his power, as we discussed in an earlier session, and his character, his love for us, how much he has our best interests at heart.
And people find that meditating is so difficult. But in my second book in the Bible study series, Woman of the Word, we talk about how worrying is just the opposite of meditating. Instead of filling your mind with all of the things that could be, fill your mind with all of the things that God says are, already exist. They're already in existence. They are not what if, you know, I die of the virus. No, what if my family member gets hit by a car? But it's filled with the promises. And when we meditate on those, that will take us in a different direction. And Karen, before you give us the third thing, we all have faith in something. We're created that way. We have faith in something, don't we? Really, when we think about it, we have faith that we're going to get into our car and go to the store and we're going to make it. We have faith that if we get in an elevator, we're going to get to the floor we want. We have faith that that person is going to do the best for us, that we have faith in our doctors.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with faith in doctors and medication. We talked earlier about, yes, you know, as Christians, having faith in God and also getting medical help, those aren't opposites. Those don't conflict with each other. We can do both. But we shouldn't just have faith in doctors or medication or vaccine. We can have some faith in that, of course, we should. But our greater faith that we need to focus on has to be in God. And that way, even if we've received a negative medical report, God will have the final say. And so we need to listen to what he has to say. And, you know, we were talking a minute ago about negative outcomes. You know, people, they go back and they think, well, why did this or that happen? Well, in this lifetime, we're never going to know the answers to all that. But we can choose to think of positive stories from our own life or the lives of our loved ones or people we read about. And in my book, I give lots of stories because that, again, is a choice. You can either think back to something that we perceive to be negative and then dwell on that, and that will only discourage us. Or we can say, all right, I don't understand all that. There's some element of mystery to this. One day God will explain. But we can instead choose to think of positive stories, positive outcomes, stories that will encourage us. So it's the combination, the verses and also the just the stories that can uplift us. And that's why it's so important for all of us to testify to others, to tell our stories of when God has helped us and healed us.
Yes, remember that in Deuteronomy, we are told that you are to pass on the greatness of God to your children, your children's children, and to share those things. And remember, in that time, they were done orally and not written down, which is, it is amazing how God preserved that truth of the importance of passing on the generational blessings of God to those that followed his way. And I think it's another important thing as we continue and wait for your third comment here, is that we pass on the faith. And that's our privilege. And that's what we're doing today. What we've been given, we want to pass on, because it is the greatness. And I often think I really didn't do that great a job in sharing with my family the greatness of God, but I'm sure trying to make up for it now, because it is such an important part. It's this God that we serve as we get to know him and we discover just how much he wants to be involved in our lives. Then our faith can be put into him as the priority faith, which you just mentioned, the balance of, you know, something that came to my mind as I was meditating this morning is, you know, you hear that saying that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I found very few people like that, you know, because I think in my experience and in my own life, I think I'm so earthly minded that I'm no heavenly good at times. And so this connection with God and what he has for us, it needs to grow more and more so that we would be a little bit more spiritually minded than earthly minded. And you're speaking right into this, Karen, because you project and highlight the power of God's word. So with that, carry on.
And so then the third reason is why we sometimes struggle with our faith is that we just grow weary. We grow tired. We grow discouraged. And I hope in a later interview we get to talk more about God's timing. God doesn't always heal us right away. And we know that because we've talked about how sometimes God heals us by the way he's pre-programmed our bodies to naturally heal. And so that takes time. And sometimes that could be a matter of days or weeks. Sometimes it can even be years. And likewise, if we do go to doctors and rely on medication, sometimes medication takes some time to kick in, or surgery, you know, there's a period of recovery after. So it's important not to grow weary, not to grow tired. Sometimes people talk in the past tense, God didn't heal me. But I like to say God hasn't healed you yet. And so I guess my encouragement is don't give up. God is still doing something that maybe you don't understand why he's allowing you to go through a season of suffering. And again, maybe we can, we talk about that in a later interview, this season of suffering. But, you know, I would really like to just spend a few minutes just talking more about the Bible and what it does say about faith. And I think, you know, sometimes people beat up on themselves and they say, well, maybe I just didn't have enough faith. The Bible tells us we just need to have faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus said that. He said you could even move a mountain if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. And for those who don't cook with mustard seeds, a mustard seed is the size of a period. If you're reading a book in a normal font and there's a period, that's the size of a mustard seed. That's all the faith you have to have. And so the rest is up to God. Come with whatever faith you have. And Jesus talked about just how much he rewards faith. Of course, we were told that in Hebrews, God rewards faith. But there are a couple of great stories. Well, there's many great stories in the Bible. But one I'd like to talk about is the one that we can find in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. And I think most people have heard the story of a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. We don't know exactly what that was all about, but she came in faith to Jesus. She must have been very, very, you know, if you're bleeding a lot, you're going to be anemic. It must have taken every last ounce of energy to get herself through the crowd to get right up to Jesus. And Jesus perceived that she had touched the hem of his garment. Yeah. And then Jesus said to her, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And so, yes, faith is important. And while we may struggle with it, as we talked about, we may have our reasons, I invite people to just put aside some of these things that have held you back and give faith a fresh chance.
Yeah. And once you take that first step into faith, then the next step, and then the next step, it does increase over time. And, you know, early in my marriage, I suffered from a very deep depression, which necessitated me leaving my teaching career for a year. And it was based on really believing lies about myself and my abilities. And that's another story. But the thing was, when I met that moment that I couldn't do it anymore. I'd given my life to the Lord years before, but I was not acting in faith because of some things that had happened. And they, just like you have said, they clouded my vision. And when I cried out to God, "If you'll just get me out of this depression, I'll do anything you want me to do," I thought that I would feel differently immediately. And I did not. And I was so confused by that for a long time. But I remember that I made a decision that day when I knew I couldn't go any longer. And I made a decision that I was going to put God's word in my life no matter how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. In our culture, we're so feeling oriented. I don't feel like it. I don't. And I really had to discover that my faith was weak because my feelings were superseding everything else.
Yes, and that's what
it became sight. And so as I processed this later on, as I started writing Bible studies, I really had a long time processing this. And I really sense now that there was a further reason that God did not heal me instantly. It was quite a process and years of being in the Word and letting the Word take place of my feelings. I failed many years of that, but I came to the realization that I had a knowledge about God. I knew what he required, but I was not even exercising what I already knew. And it was a wonderful truth when I realized, you know, God has already told, I mean, this was taught to me by my parents, you know, read the Bible. You need the Bible every day. You need this source, and God will never forsake you. But I had never taken that into my life and believed it, because mm-hmm. my dad, who had taught me all of this, suffered from mental illness. So I got clouded, and all these feelings were interfering. And so I had to confess, "Lord, I've claimed to be a Christian, but I'm not even doing what you've asked me." And so we'll talk more about that, you know, the steps of obedience so that our faith has the opportunity to supersede and, you know, get so much bigger than our feelings that will take us over. And you talked about being tired or discouraged. That's a feeling, and it's, mm-hmm. it can overwhelm us, and we don't make good decisions when we're tired or fearful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it all just comes down to a choice, whether we feel like making that choice or not. We just have to be resolute and decide, "I am going to have faith." And Hebrews chapter 11, I believe, talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. They're further down the road. And another place, Paul talks about we walk by faith and not by sight. So instead of being weary and discouraged by our feelings or by, you know, just looking at our symptoms, we don't seem to be getting better. Our loved one doesn't seem to be getting better. We walk by faith and not by sight. And of course, like Peter walking on the water, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the wind and the waves. And sometimes it's our own thoughts and feelings that are the wind and the waves, but we need to just keep fixed on Jesus. And last session we talked about Jesus is the Word. So the two are interchangeable.
Absolutely.
Your eyes on the Word and your eyes are on Jesus.
And it changes. And we're going to finish off our time together with getting a fresh perspective. But I just want all of you to know that we are talking to Karen Hanin, author of four great books, but this series is all about God's healing power. And if you've missed the earlier ones, go back and listen. You will gain so many new insights and be encouraged in your journey to discover what God says in His Word about His healing power. So for the last few minutes, Karen, let's just go to the fresh perspective. What do you mean by that?
I think, you know, we were talking earlier about negative outcomes, and I think for the Christian, for the believer, there's no such thing as a negative outcome when it comes to our health issues, our health challenges, our prayers for healing, because one of two things is going to happen. Either God is going to answer our prayers for healing for ourselves or a loved one in the here and now, sooner or later, or the second thing is, at some point, as we discussed earlier, God is going to take us or our loved one to our eternal lives. And I think sometimes we think of that as a lesser outcome, and that when somebody dies, it's a negative outcome. But for the believer, it's the best outcome. The best is yet to come. And I think we really need to wrap our heads around this. Heaven is not a worse outcome, because in heaven, we're going to leave behind these tired and worn out old bodies, and we're going to get bodies that God promises will be indestructible. They'll be permanent. There'll be no more pain and suffering. There'll be no more tears. And I know everybody knows this, but I think we really have to live this way. And especially when we're praying for healing for ourselves and others. Yes, God will continue to heal over and over and over again many times in our lifetime, but the healing will stop. Many biblical characters had a sickness unto death. And but let's just rejoice in what is yet to come. And I think we also need to see this as a continuum. You know, sometimes we put this horrible, ominous black line. Here's life, here's death. Yes. There's this horrible line between it. For the believer, it's a seamless transition. For the believer, we go straight from this life to the next. When Jesus was on the cross and the person on the cross beside him believed in him, Jesus says, "This night I will see you in heaven." Yeah. And so when we die, we are immediately transported into the presence of Jesus. It's seamless. It's a continuum. And so let's rejoice in that and just see that no matter what happens, it's a positive outcome.
I had an aunt that was very ill in her 60s and dying with cancer. And she was positive she was going to be healed. And everybody around her was positive. And then she died. And I remembered the conversation. And I was a little confused. I thought, she's got total healing. And you know, she's perfect now. And as Paul said, you know, to live or die, which is better? Really, I'd really prefer to get out of this. And many people, I believe, would like to get out of our world right now. But, you know, when we think of eternity as a big circle, you know, our life is only a speck on that circle. And the rest of our life is really going to be so much better than what we've experienced here. That's a new perspective, Karen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And wow, while we linger here and while we long for things to be different here, what a great perspective for the world that we're living in. There is so much confusion. There is so much pain. There is so much heartache over what's going on and so much fear. But if you do not know that you can live forever and you're listening today, Karen and I both want you to know that you can know God through Christ, our Savior. You can come to Him and ask Him to forgive you for His sins, your sins. That's why He died on the cross. And He promises that if you will ask forgiveness and you will accept what He did for you on the cross with His shed blood, that you will live with Him forever. Now that's a promise, Karen, that nobody can top. It's a promise of something so much better anything we've experienced here on earth. And today, as we close off our show, I just think of Colossians 3, verse 2, where Paul talks about setting your minds on things above. To get this perspective that Karen is talking about, a brand new perspective that our lives in heaven are way better than they are here on earth. Karen, your closing remarks for today.
Well, I just want to encourage people just to have faith still in the here and now. So we can pray for ourselves and our loved ones until our final breath. We can pray for healing and leave the outcome into God's hands. And so, as I say, he may continue even into our old age to keep giving us healing. But we can have faith and hope for healing here and our eternal lives in heaven. And those can just be side by side in our lives. They're not inconsistent. Let's have faith for both, for healing and for our eternal destiny.
And enjoying this life to the full until our fullness here is done. And that's what we're doing. And we're so glad that you joined in. Till next time, bye for now.